This is Joanna Schrader reporting for DomesticFuel.com, and I am here with Bill Northey, who is our Iowa Secretary of Agriculture. Bill, how are you?
Great. It's great to be here. We got a little bit of snow at this meeting, but we'll take some moisture however we can get it.
I was going to say, Bill, as a farmer, you have to be appreciating the snow, because after the drought, I'm sure you really need this moisture.
Yeah, we are. We early in the week had some very warm weather and got some rain and actually soaked in. That was much easier to take than the snow, but we'll take it however we can get it.
Right. Well, hopefully we'll have a good spring and corn production this year will be good. But you were giving some opening remarks here before a session at the Iowa Renewable Fuels Summit, and you had an interesting statistic that if Iowa were a country, would be the fourth largest corn producer. Is that correct?
It is. It's an amazing stat. You know, we know we're a large corn producer. We're the largest corn producing state. But when you start looking around the world, the number one corn producing country is the U.S. Number two is China. They have about the same number of acres of corn as the U.S., but about two-thirds of the production or so. Number three is Brazil, although we've been very close to them different times, sometimes ahead, sometimes behind. Right now, with the higher prices, they're seeing increased production. With the drought that we had, they're ahead of us. But we would be the fourth largest corn-producing country in the world. And, of course, our footprint is tiny compared to a lot of the countries that are behind us. We produce almost as much corn, the last few years, as much corn as what the whole European Union does, 27 countries of the European Union. Some great corn producers there. Iowa has more production than that whole European Union has.
Well, that's amazing. You know, let's talk, too, about, you know, corn ethanol. Iowa's the largest producer of corn ethanol in the country. Well, actually, in the world, obviously. So could Iowa, are we producing enough biofuels to be energy independent?
We are. We have 41 ethanol plants producing somewhere between 3.5 and 4 billion gallons of ethanol, about a third of all, a fourth of all the ethanol produced, a third to a fourth. Last year, about 3.7 billion gallons. We used in ethanol and gasoline for all the 3 million people of Iowa about 1.4 billion gallons. So we use less than half of what we produce in this state. So our saying is we didn't have to blend our ethanol with gasoline. We wouldn't need a drop of gasoline imported into this state from other states or other countries, and we'd still be able to export over half the ethanol that we produce. So we'd be the only state that is a net exporter of liquid fuels that doesn't pump a barrel of oil from the ground.
Well, what about on the biodiesel side? How much does the state of Iowa use on the diesel side in comparative to our biodiesel production? What would that look like?
Yeah, we'd still be smaller in biodiesel production than in total diesel usage. I don't have those numbers per se. I think it's about 600 million gallons or so of diesel, and we're probably we're about 300 million. So certainly getting closer. Almost all that we use is blended, but we'd have to blend it at a lot higher rates, and we'd be able to blend a lot higher rates if we could use our own biodiesel, and we'd still go a long ways towards producing all the diesel that we need in the state as well.
Well, I mean, you've obviously been a huge supporter of biofuels in the state, and Senator Harkin has been a huge supporter for many years, and he just announced his retirement. You know, that sends some ripples through the industry, needless to say. So, you know, how do you think that's going to affect both Iowa moving forward and then even Iowa on a national stage and renewable energy moving forward?
Yeah, he certainly has been a supporter. We've recognized, obviously, Senator Grassley is a really aggressive supporter, but Senator Harkin has always been there as well. And anytime you lose seniority, you lose some influence. This is a time we're seeing some attacks on renewable fuels. We see some folks going after the RFS. We see some folks attacking E15 in crazy kind of ways, but probably making some inroads in some places. So we need all our folks. I would hope that what we do is elect somebody just as strong and just as vocal that would support the renewable fuels industry. So they work alongside the congressmen that we have that are supporters, all their supporters, as well as Senator Grassley, which has been essential to the development of the renewable energy business in Iowa and around the United States. So It is important to be able to make sure we have good, strong voices coming from the biggest renewable fuels state that's out there.
Well, Bill, I fail to call myself a reporter if I don't ask you the question. There's a lot of people who actually would like you to run for that Senate seat, if not potentially governor, if Branstad announced his retirement. So are you going to tell me first that you're going to run?
I'm not, actually. I certainly, it was a surprise to many of us that Senator Harkin announced this last weekend that he's not going to run again. There are a lot of folks that are looking at it, hundreds of folks, I'm sure, probably, that are looking at it. I have to look at it as well. I love the job that I do. I'm Secretary of Ag of a great ag state, get to work with great folks. Obviously, a senator job from Iowa is an awful important responsibility as well, and something I have to look at. Not ready to make any decision yet, though.
All right. Well, Bill, when you do, I want to be the first to know.
Okay, Joanna.
Well, great. So, in closing, what do you see for Iowa in these next couple of years in terms of, can we still grow exponentially in terms of the amount of renewable energy the state can produce?
We went through a really big growth, kind of the mid-2000s, from, 2005 to 2008, 2009. We've kind of stabilized the last few years. We've hit this blend wall where we're using almost 10% of all the fuel in the U.S. as ethanol. E15 offers an opportunity to grow. E85 offers an opportunity to grow. Both of them have a lot of support, and we're seeing more infrastructure. At the same token, they're not growing fast enough to be able to grow the industry. The other piece right now is we've had very expensive corn as well, and so that has caused the folks producing ethanol to not look to expand until they get some sense that there's better margins in that industry. Now in Iowa, we still have every plant operating, maybe not at full capacity right now, but even with $7 plus corn, we have every plant operating. So it is an industry that's on very good, stable footing. We need a good crop in Iowa. We don't mind if the prices soften up for us farmers a little bit if we can have a good crop and plenty of bushels to sell, and it would help our livestock folks. It would help our ethanol industry. And certainly if we had enough bushels, it'd help our corn growers and soybean growers as well.
Well, great. Well, Bill, let's keep in touch over the next couple of months, especially we go into planning, and kind of let us know how you're seeing things shake out on the E15 front and that type of thing.
Yeah, I think we're at, as always, an interesting time in agriculture and the renewable fuels business. There's always challenges, and as we look at things right now, we see those challenges. But, as you look to the past, there are always challenges as well. Just talking with John Urbanchuk, who's here, back the Clean Air Act amendments of the early 1990s. We're going to kill the industry. They actually created opportunities for the industry, and it grew. But a lot of work by a lot of farmers and a lot of folks involved helped make that happen, and that's what's going to get us through these times as well, is people out there making sure that the influence is heard of this industry.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Joni.